Chapter 30. Containing strange matter, on which many events in his history may, for their good or evil influence, chiefly depend, but Mr. Pecksniff came to town on business. Had he forgotten that? Was he always taking his pleasure with Todger's jovial brood, unmindful of the serious demands, whatever they might be, upon his calm consideration? No. Time and tide will wait for no man, saith the adage. But all men have to wait for time and tide. That tide which, taken at the flood, would lead Seth Pecksniff on to fortune, was marked down in the table, and about to flow. No idle Pecksniff lingered far inland, unmindful of the changes of the stream, but there, upon the water's edge, over his shoes already, stood the worthy creature, prepared to wallow in the very mud, so that it slid towards the quarter of his hope. The trustfulness of his two fair daughters was beautiful indeed. They had that firm reliance on their parents' nature, which taught them to feel certain that in all he did he had his purpose straight and full before him, and that its noble end and object was himself, which almost of necessity included them, they knew. The devotion of these maids was perfect. Their filial confidence was rendered the more touching by their having no knowledge of their parents' real designs in the present instance. All that they knew of his proceedings was, that every morning, after the early breakfast, he repaired to the post office and inquired for letters. That task performed, his business for the day was over, and he again relaxed, until the rising of another sun proclaimed the advent of another post. This went on for 4 or 5 days. At length, one morning, Mr. Pecksniff returned with a breathless rapidity, strange to observe in him, at other times so calm, and, seeking immediate speech with his daughters, shut himself up with them in private conference for 2 whole hours. Of all that passed in this period, only the following words of Mr. Pecksniff's utterance are known. How he has come to change so very much, if it should turn out as I expect that he has, we needn't stop to inquire. My dears, I have my thoughts upon the subject, but I will not impart them. It is enough that we will not be proud, resentful, or unforgiving. If he wants our friendship, he shall have it. We know our duty, I hope. Apostrophe, that same day at noon, an old gentleman alighted from a hackney coach at the post office, and, giving his name, inquired for a letter addressed to himself, and directed to be left till called for. It had been lying there some days. The superscription was in Mr. Pecksniff's hand, and it was sealed with Mr. Pecksniff's seal. It was very short, containing indeed nothing more than an address with Mr. Pecksniff's respectful, and, notwithstanding what has passed, sincerely affectionate regards. Apostrophe, the old gentleman tore off the direction, scattering the rest in fragments to the winds and giving it to the coachman, bade him drive as near that place as he could. In pursuance of these instructions he was driven to the monument, where he again alighted, and dismissed the vehicle, and walked towards Todger's. Though the face, and form, and gait of this old man, and even his grip of the stout stick on which he leaned, were all expressive of a resolution not easily shaken, and a purpose, it matters little, whether right or wrong, just now, such as in other days might have survived the rack, and had its strongest life in weakest death. Still there were grains of hesitation in his mind, which made him now avoid the house he sought, and loiter to and fro in a gleam of sunlight that brightened the little churchyard hard by. There may have been, in the presence of those idle heaps of dust among the busiest stir of life, something to increase his wavering, but there he walked, awakening the echoes as he paced up and down, until the church clock, striking the quarters for the second time since he had been there, roused him from his meditation. Shaking off his incertitude as the air parted with the sound of the bells, he walked rapidly to the house, and knocked at the door. Mr. Pecksniff was seated in the landlady's little room, and his visitor found him reading by an accident. He apologized for it an excellent theological work. There were cake and wine upon a little table by another accident, for which he also apologized. Indeed, he said, he had given his visitor up, and was about to partake of that simple refreshment with his children, when he knocked at the door. Your daughters are well? Said old Martin, laying down his hat and stick. Mr. Pecksniff endeavored to conceal his agitation as a father when he answered yes, they were. They were good girls, he said, very good. He would not venture to recommend Mr. Chuzzlewit to take the easy chair, or to keep out of the draft from the door. If he made any such suggestion, he would expose himself, he feared, to most unjust suspicion. He would, therefore, content himself with remarking that there was an easy chair in the room, and that the door was far from being airtight. This latter imperfection, he might perhaps venture to add, was not uncommonly to be met with in old houses. The old man sat down in the easy chair, and after a few moments' silence, said, In the first place, let me thank you for coming to London so promptly, at my almost unexplained request, I need scarcely add, at my cost. At your cost, my good sir. Cried Mr. Pecksniff, in a tone of great surprise. It is not, said Martin, waving his hand impatiently, my habit to put my relatives to any personal expense to gratify my caprices. Caprices, my good sir. Cried Mr. Pecksniff, that is scarcely the proper word either, in this instance, said the old man. No. You are right. Mr. Pecksniff was inwardly very much relieved to hear it, though he didn't at all know why. You are right, repeated Martin. It is not a caprice. It is built upon reason, proof, and cool comparison. Caprices never are. Moreover, I am not a capricious man. I never was. Most assuredly not, said Mr. Pecksniff. How do you know? Returned the other quickly. You are to begin to know it now. You are to test and prove it, in time to come. You and yours are to find that I can be constant, and am not to be diverted from my end. Do you hear? Perfectly, said Mr. Pecksniff. I very much regret, Martin resumed, looking steadily at him, and speaking in a slow and measured tone. I very much regret that you and I held such a conversation together as that which passed between us at our last meeting. I very much regret that I laid open to you what were then my thoughts of you, so freely as I did. The intentions that I bear towards you now are of another kind, deserted by all in whom I have ever trusted, hoodwinked and beset by all who should help and sustain me. I fly to you for refuge. I confide in you to be my ally, to attach yourself to me by ties of interest and expectation. He laid great stress upon these words, though Mr. Pecksniff particularly begged him not to mention it, and to help me to visit the consequences of the very worst species of meanness, dissimulation, and subtlety, on the right heads. My noble sir. Cried Mr. Pecksniff, catching at his outstretched hand. And you regret the having harbored unjust thoughts of me? You with those gray hairs? Regrets, said Martin, are the natural property of gray hairs, and I enjoy, in common with all other men, at least my share of such inheritance. And so enough of that. I regret having been severed from you so long. If I had known you sooner, and sooner used you as you well deserve, I might have been a happier man. Mr. Pecksniff looked up to the ceiling, and clasped his hands in rapture. Your daughters, said Martin, after a short silence. I don't know them. Are they like you? In the nose of my eldest, and the chin of my youngest, Mr. Chuzzlewit, returned the widower, their sainted parent, not myself, their mother, lives again. I don't mean in person, said the old man. Morally. Tis not for me to say, retorted Mr. Pecksniff with a gentle smile. I have done my best, sir. Apostrophe, I could wish to see them, apostrophe said Martin. Are they near at hand? Apostrophe, they were, very near, for they had in fact been listening at the door from the beginning of this conversation until now, when they precipitately retired. Having wiped the signs of weakness from his eyes, and so given them time to get upstairs, Mr. Pecksniff opened the door, and mildly cried in the passage, My own darlings, where are you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, here, my dear pa. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied the distant voice of Charity. Come down into the back parlor, if you please, my love, apostrophe, said Mr. Pecksniff, and bring your sister with you. Apostrophe, yes, my dear pa, apostrophe, cried Mary, and down they came directly, being all obedience, singing as they came. Nothing could exceed the astonishment of the two Miss Pecksniffs, when they found a stranger with their dear papa. Nothing could surpass their mute amazement when he said, My children, Mr. Chuzzlewit. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but when he told them that Mr. Chuzzlewit and he were friends, and that Mr. Chuzzlewit had said such kind and tender words as pierced his very heart, the two Miss Pecksniffs cried with one accord, Thank heaven for this. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and fell upon the old man's neck. And when they had embraced him with such fervor of affection, that no words can describe it, they grouped themselves about his chair, and hung over him, as figuring to themselves no earthly joy like that of ministering to his wants, and crowding into the remainder of his life, the love they would have diffused over their whole existence, from infancy, if he, dear obdurate, had but consented to receive the precious offering. The old man looked attentively from one to the other, and then at Mr. Pecksniff, several times. What, apostrophe he asked of Mr. Pecksniff, happening to catch his eye in its descent, for until now it had been piously upraised, with something of that expression which the poetry of ages has attributed to a domestic bird, when breathing its last amid the ravages of an electric storm. What are their names? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Pecksniff told him, and added, rather hastily, his calumniators would have said, with a view to any testamentary thoughts that might be flitting through old Martin's mind, perhaps, my dears, you had better write them down. Your humble autographs are of no value in themselves, but affection may prize them. Apostrophe, affection, apostrophe, said the old man, will expend itself on the living originals. Do not trouble yourselves, my girls, I shall not so easily forget you, Charity and Mercy, as to need such tokens of remembrance. Cousin, apostrophe, sir, apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Pecksniff, with alacrity. Do you never sit down? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why yes occasionally, sir, apostrophe, said Mr. Pecksniff, who had been standing all this time. Will you do so now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, can you ask me, apostrophe, returned Mr. Pecksniff, slipping into a chair immediately, whether I will do anything that you desire? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you talk confidently, apostrophe, said Martin, and you mean well. But I fear you don't know what an old man's humors are. You don't know what it is to be required to court his likings and dislikings, to adapt yourself to his prejudices, to do his bidding, be it what it may, to bear with his distrusts and jealousies, and always still be zealous in his service. When I remember how numerous these failings are in me, and judge of their occasional enormity by the injurious thoughts I lately entertained of you, I hardly dare to claim you for my friend. Apostrophe, my worthy sir, apostrophe, returned his relative, how can you talk in such a painful strain? What was more natural than that you should make one slight mistake, when in all other respects you were so very correct, and have had such reason, such very sad and undeniable reason, to judge of everyone about you in the worst light? Apostrophe, apostrophe, true, apostrophe, replied the other. You are very lenient with me. Apostrophe, we always said, my girls and I, apostrophe, cried Mr. Pecksniff with increasing obsequiousness, that while we mourn the heaviness of our misfortune in being confounded with the base and mercenary, still we could not wonder at it. My dears, you remember? Apostrophe, oh vividly. 1,000 times. We uttered no complaint, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff. Occasionally we had the presumption to console ourselves with the remark that truth would in the end prevail and virtue be triumphant, but not often. My loves, you recollect? Apostrophe, apostrophe, recollect. Could he doubt it? Dearest Pa, what strange unnecessary questions. And when I saw you, apostrophe resumed Mr. Pecksniff, with still greater deference, in the little unassuming village where we take the liberty of dwelling, I said you were mistaken in me, my dear sir. That was all, I think. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, not all, apostrophe said Martin, who had been sitting with his hand upon his brow for some time past, and now looked up again. You said much more, which, added to other circumstances that have come to my knowledge, opened my eyes. You spoke to me, disinterestedly, on behalf of I need name him. You know whom I mean. Apostrophe, trouble was expressed in Mr. Pecksniff's visage, as he pressed his hot hands together, and replied, with humility, quite disinterestedly, sir, I assure you. Apostrophe, I know it, apostrophe said old Martin, in his quiet way. I am sure of it. I said so. It was disinterested to, in you, to draw that herd of harpies off from me, and be their victim yourself. Most other men would have suffered them to display themselves in all their rapacity, and would have striven to rise, by contrast, in my estimation. You felt for me, and drew them off, for which I owe you many thanks. Although I left the place, I know what passed behind my back, you see. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you amaze me, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Pecksniff, which was true enough. My knowledge of your proceedings, apostrophe said the old man, does not stop at this. You have a new inmate in your house. Apostrophe, yes, sir, apostrophe rejoined the architect, I have. Apostrophe, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.